says, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. We have such wonderful singing here in this congregation. Gary does such a fine job in leading us. It's not unusual on any given Sunday to have some of the visitors talk about our singing. And isn't it good to just sing one song after another? We need to do more of that, I think. Now for the next few minutes, let's think about prayer, praying for one another. The Bible tells us to be specific in our prayers. Elijah prayed that it might not rain, and then later he prayed that it might rain. And we need, I think, sometimes to be more specific than we are. What I'm going to read will not only emphasize certain areas where we need to pray, but I think it indicates something about our thinking as we come together in a service like this. We ask to pray for F.H. Gates and the church in Belo Horizonte, especially as they are about to outgrow their building there. Pray for Andrea Don Walker and the group of 14 students who are doing mission work in Africa, be gone for about 3 months this summer. Jack and Nancy Farber will be serving in Central America. That's John's folks. Walker Whittle is in Ufa, Russia, for 3 weeks on a mission trip. We certainly need to remember him. And then someone just mentioned most of our missionaries and others, the Gates, the Lyons, H.B. Frank and his family, the Myers in Louisville, Mississippi. Mark Harris needs to be remembered in our prayers. The rest of these are basically dealing with those that are sick, and I wanted to start with this one. This one is from Jacob Bean, and he says, please pray for Aunt Betty. And Betty had surgery a few days ago. And isn't it wonderful to think that even our younger ones are thinking about prayer and those that are sick? Emily Hufford's surgery was successful. She'll be hospitalized for several days. Lloyd Kennedy is back at home, will have additional surgery probably in August. Danny Kennedy, their son's in the hospital in Florida. Of course, our Dave McGee is undergoing treatment again. Misty McPeak, 22-year-old friend of several here, is suffering from cancer. Houston Carroll, who's a brother of Lurleen Highsmith, will be returning to Vanderbilt for further tests. Houston's a friend to many of us. Vaughn Scott says, my niece, Vicki Broom, has MS and is progressing rather rapidly. Melissa Mann, the niece of Hope Shull, is recovering from surgery. Homer Stanfill is mentioned to be remembered. Brenda Worsham, who is known by several here. Waitstill Day, the grandfather of Leah Beaver, is to have more tests run this week for possible cancer. Joanne Hurds, close friend of Sammy and Rhonda Jones, is 32 years old, will have surgery for cancer. Also, Dr. James Neely, who's a family friend, has a brain tumor in Mississippi. Stephanie Dabb says, Marshall Eubanks, my uncle, has had tests run, just found out that he has diabetes. We want to remember him. Carthel Gish is Pearl Griffin's brother, has been sick for several months. Please pray for Mr. Nolan Oldham, that's Reader's father, who is out at Chester County Nursing Home, and Elsie Rowe, Donna Grantham's mother, has been moved there, and we have several out there that are related to us. Hoyt and Betty Kirk continue to suffer because of the death of their daughter. Ruth Connor, Joan Brown's mom, will begin radiation treatments again in the next few days. Sharon Miller is mentioned, Weta Landon, Reba Thomas, Jean Jones, along with others we've already mentioned. These are some who've been taking treatment and maybe will be continuing treatment. Gran and Marcia Morgan, the loss of her mother and brother in the fire last week, and looking forward to the arrival of a new baby in that family. Bill Brown's sister-in-law, Almeda Brown, has been suffering with cancer and treatment for some time. Laura Cole, Iva Cole, Grace Collins, Richard West had surgery yesterday. David Wadlington is back with us today after surgery. I know of Opal Marsh and Odessa Austin and Rayford Nobles, who are in Jackson General. I appreciate the fact that so many of you have mentioned those that are on your hearts, and there may even be others. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer as one of our elders, Brother Oldham, leads us.
Our Father, we are grateful that we can bring our petitions before Thee at this time. We know that it's not because of any worth or merit on our part, but because of Thy mercy and grace. And we know that Thou art interested in all of us and interested in those things that concern us. This is nationally a Memorial Day weekend. We are happy that we can remember those that have given the supreme sacrifice for this land, and we're so grateful for the privileges that we have. We are concerned maybe of some of the directions of our country at this time, and pray that Thou wilt be with those leaders that we've chosen, that Thou wilt overrule in those occasions that it would not be in the best interest of Thy people and all of us. We know that You have given memorials throughout the ages, that in Israel and even in the patriarchy, that there were memorials set up, that Thou hast given us capabilities of remembering, and that we need to be using these for Thy cause and to make us better, to call us back to those things that are good and proper for us. We're thankful that in this great dispensation of Christ that we have memorials as well. In fact, this, the first day of the week, is a memorial to His resurrection. The supper that we observe each first day of the week, a memorial to His death and suffering. Baptism that admits us into Thy family is also a remembrance of His death, His burial, and His resurrection. We are mindful of so many that have been mentioned now, that we cannot take the time to review all of these names, but they're on our hearts and continually there, and we pray that Thou wilt bless them. There are so many of these, Father, that are suffering with cancer. And we know that in this community there's been a concerted effort to raise funds for research and for the treatment of this dreaded disease. We're thankful for the leadership that has been provided in this community to this end. And we do pray for these that are being diagnosed with cancer, that are being treated for it, that are suffering. And we pray for the families of those that have lost their lives because of this dreaded disease. May we continue to do more to find a cure if possible, that Thou wilt direct the research that is being done. We're reminded of those that are hospitalized at this time for other reasons. And we're thankful for hospitals and doctors, surgeons, nurses, and so many of those that are giving their time and energy for the treatment of the sick. We know that our Lord was concerned about the sick while He was here, and we continue to pray for them, for their restoration to health. And those that are in nursing homes at this time, the aged, we know that they've borne the burden through the heat of the day, that they've been such a blessing to us, those that are our parents and others of our family and friends. We are thankful for those that are helping us to care for them, to minister to their needs at this time, and pray that we may help hold up their hands in this undertaking. We pray that there may be relief of pain as much as possible, and that these last days may be as happy as possible. We pray for Mark Harris and others who are confined at this time. We may not know the causes and the circumstances, but we do pray for them and for their families. And Father, we remember our missionaries and those that have gone out. We know that many of our number are other places. We're thankful for the cave's safe return. Continue to bless the work in Belo Horizonte. We rejoice at the good news that he's brought back. Be with the Gates family and all others that are working there. And we are thrilled because of the progress that has been made over the years, and that many have joined hands in accomplishing this. But not only in Brazil, but in Russia, we pray for the Meek family as they are here for a few more weeks, as they're making preparation to return there, for the work in Louisville, Mississippi, for the Lions in Hawaii, and for all others that we're helping to support, that we're encouraging in that work. We're thankful that Christ made the sacrifice that all of us may be saved by his blood. And so many have not heard of this. We pray that all of us may be messengers taking this good news, and that I'll raise up many others to this end. So help us, Father, to this end, that we may remember these and remember the blessings that we have from thee, and not only the national blessings that we have, but particularly the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Bless the remainder of this service and make us useful throughout the week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Number 119 will be the song for the reading and the lesson. Number 119, John Farber will be reading from God's Word. If you would, mark number 553 as the song of invitation. Number 553. Let's stand as we sing number 119, please. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. In pity, angels beheld him, and came from the world of light to comfort, and his sorrows he bore for my soul that night. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
When with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Be seated, please.
We'll be reading from three different locations in the Bible this evening. First of all, Proverbs 10, verse 7. Proverbs 10, verse 7. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Next, Deuteronomy 32, 7. Deuteronomy 32, 7. Remember the days of the old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. And finally, Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and they that thought upon his name.
Thank you, John. John is working as an intern this summer with our youth program with Mike. We appreciate his being here and what he's doing. Normally, when it's 37 minutes into the service and the preacher's just beginning, you might be concerned, but don't despair. I got to thinking a while back in the conversation with someone that perhaps sometimes we emphasize the sermon above all other parts of our worship when we're together. It's not uncommon to hear in the closing prayer, "Father, help us to return for the evening service that we may hear another lesson from thy word." There's nothing wrong with that. Certainly, it's not wrong for us to come together to study a lesson from God's Word. And I certainly hope that we don't try to do away with the idea of preaching the gospel. But folks, our singing and our prayer, and of course on the Lord's Day, our observance of the Lord's Supper and our giving of our means are all just as important as the preaching of a sermon. I think the service tonight emphasizes that. Just think about all the lessons that we taught one another as we sang about Jesus. Think about all the things that Brother Oldham mentioned in his prayer. Things that help us to remember in the way that we ought to remember. I just want to share with you for a few minutes a few passages of Scripture and some comments on those that I hope will help us to put the idea of a memorial in proper focus. A very simple definition of the word memorial is something that helps to preserve memory. Something that helps to preserve memory. There are certainly times that we need to forget. And I'm glad that God forgets when He forgives. But folks, there are also so many times that we need to remember. I believe our younger generation would appreciate life more if they would stop and remember what has been done by the last two generations. You and the younger generation don't realize it unless you stop and think about it. But most of the things that have been discovered that helped life to be easier today were discovered in the two previous generations. And yet sometimes we think that our parents and our grandparents don't know very much, that they're not up to date, and maybe because of that we don't stop and remember the many things that we ought to remember. I'm thankful that there will be a program tomorrow. Each Memorial Day, there is a program here at the Courthouse Square, usually in Henderson, in which just a short period of time is taken to remember especially our men and women who gave their lives to make it possible for us to enjoy this very freedom of coming together tonight to worship God. And it is appropriate that we remember folks in that way. But it's also appropriate that we remember things from a spiritual standpoint. It's interesting just to let your mind wander through the Bible and think about the times that the word memorial is used, or the word memory, or the word remembrance, all of which suggest the same idea. The passages that were read a few minutes ago indicated that to us. Especially that one in Deuteronomy suggests that we need to remember the folks that have gone before us. He said, even ask your fathers about them. When I think about all the information that my dad had in his head about family and friends and people who'd lived in our area, that's gone now that he's gone. But he helped in so many ways, as I'm sure your folks have, to caused me to remember things that had happened in the past, to be reminded of what had been done to make it possible for me to enjoy the blessings that I enjoy today. After that great 11th chapter of Hebrews, the 12th chapter says that seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin and run with patience the race that is set before us. I think in a sense there he was saying we need to go back and remember all of those wonderful characters that lived in olden times. We would not be where we are today if it were not for lives such as Noah and Moses and Abraham and Hannah and Jochebed and people like that that lived in Old Testament times. No wonder the New Testament tells us to be reminded of those, and that we can find hope and comfort and help by being reminded of those things that are taught back in the Old Testament. It is said that the work of Cornelius went up to God as a memorial for him. Even God remembers those good things that happen in our lives. Sometimes we remember the bad things. And sometimes maybe there's a lesson in that. For example, we were told to remember Lot's wife in Luke 17:32. But we need to remember the good things even more. Jesus said about the woman who had used the alabaster box of ointment to pour on him that this will be remembered as a memorial wherever the gospel is preached. That's recorded in the 26th chapter of Matthew. We're told to remember the elders that lead us, Hebrews 13 and verse 7. The indication that Paul gave to Timothy was that he should remember his mother Eunice and remember his grandmother Lois, what they had taught him, and how that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures. We're told in Hebrews 13 to try to show hospitality and even to remember those who are in bonds. And I think as I study that the idea just jumps out that as we see those around us who are less fortunate, that we need to remember the blessings that we enjoy from God Himself. There are so many things today that we ought to remember. You take the work of this congregation. I think of those who have served as elders since I've been here who are no longer serving, and remember the good work that they have done, some who have passed on to their reward. And some of you who have been here longer than I can remember those who were even involved in the building of the building, making it possible for us to have facilities like this, and who have preached the gospel and taught classes and helped in so many ways to give us what we have today, the strength of a sound, growing congregation. And folks, let me just say in passing, I wish all of you could travel to the places that I go and see what's happening in the church today, and in many instances what's not happening that ought to. We just don't appreciate what we have. We don't appreciate our leadership. We don't appreciate the encouragement of so many brothers and sisters in the setting that we have here. And perhaps this is a time that we ought to remember so many good things that have happened. We're told even to remember God. When Joshua and the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River, they brought some stones out and they set them up on the other side as a memorial to what God had done for them. Even young folks are told in Ecclesiastes 12, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The Bible instructs us to remember God. And there in Malachi that John read a few minutes ago, said that they evidently wrote things in a book of remembrance to remember God and all that he had done for them. We're also told to remember God's teachings. It's interesting in 2 Peter 1, after giving a list of what we normally refer to as the Christian graces, those things that we're to add to our faith, that three times in verses 12 through 15, Peter says, I'm telling you these things to put you in remembrance. Three times he says, I want you to remember. He's sort of saying, yes, you've heard this before. I know that you have heard God's word before, but I want to put you in remembrance of all that God has said so that you can know what he wants you to do. And again, I remind you that Paul told Timothy to remember those things he'd been taught from a child up. He says, don't forget those scriptures, but continue in them. We need to do everything that we can to remember people who have done good things for us and to pay tribute to them in the right way. But more than that, we need to remember God. We need to remember God's teachings. We need to remember God's blessings and what he has done for us. And I think the one thing that just stands out above everything else to us today, the first day of the week, is how we need to remember Christ and his death on the cross. In Luke, the 22nd chapter, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, and as he gave the bread to his apostles to take and to eat, he said, this do in remembrance of me. As Paul was referring to that in 1 Corinthians 11, as he made reference back to the night that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, in connection with both the bread and the fruit of the vine, he quotes Jesus as saying, this do in remembrance of me. You know, tomorrow in our country, there will be many things said and done that will point out to us that we would not be where we are today in America if it were not for the many people who have given their service and many of them their lives to make it possible for us to have our freedoms. But even more important than that, today, not limited just to the first day of the week, but with a special meaning on the first day of the week, we've surrounded the Lord's table, and some of you in a few minutes will observe the Lord's Supper. And in doing that, we are, in a sense, having a memorial. And we are remembering what Jesus has done for us, how important that death was, and what it makes possible for us today. There just isn't anything more important than the death of our Savior on the cross, because you take that factor out of the puzzle and out of the problem and out of all of it, and there would be no answer. And so today, as we think about memory, yes, of our loved ones, it's appropriate that we do that. Of people who've done so many good things for us, that's appropriate too. But more important, most important, we need to be sure that our worship and even our living, in a sense, is a memorial to God, to his purpose, and especially to Christ, who was the central part of that purpose. I believe the greatest thing that you and I can do to show our appreciation to those who've gone before us and given us our freedoms is to use those freedoms to serve and help as many people as we can. And I believe the greatest thing that we can do to show our appreciation to God and to Christ for that blood that was shed on the cross for our sins is just to be Christians and to do our best to live each day as much like Christ as we possibly can. And that's really what his invitation is about. He's asking us to come to him, to live for him, to live like him in such a way that we pay respect to the life that he lived and to the death that he died. If you're not a Christian, the greatest thing that you could do to show your appreciation for Christ is to come tonight to be baptized into him. If you're a wayward child of his, the greatest thing you can do is come back and be sure that you're right with him. What a memory What a Savior. What an opportunity. What an invitation. If you need to respond, come as together we stand and sing.